Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
So John Lopez, Reggie Atatula are here. They are in the loop, and it is time. It is time.
Pay your debts.
To pay your debts. The Lannisters and the Lopezes always pay their debts.
Yes.
So for those who don't know, John Lopez, proud alum of Texas A&M University. Myself, proud alum of the small parochial school in South Bend,
yes,
Indiana.
Sure.
Our small parochial school.
Former student, by the way. Seth knows that.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So we were able to overcome all the odds, being a 3-point underdog.
Oh, and Lord.
What though the odds
you're gonna
be
say
great
the
or small.
Irish, you're going to say the
what
luck of the Irish.
Though the odds be great or small. I don't want to give away
leprechaun.
I don't want to give away any more lyrics because the time has come because my school beat your school.
Yes.
You made this bet. This was your bet.
It was from a listener, yes.
Yeah, okay. It's from a listener. So shortly, you're going to put on the Notre Dame football helmet at 10 o'clock.
Such as it is.
Yes. Yeah, let's take a look. Show it to the show it to me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That suffices. That's like a Notre Dame helmet from like back in the 70s.
This is a Rudy.
Swap and paint was going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of CTE in that helmet right
this
there.
This is my helmet. This is.
As you mean Mark, just leftover residual, the stuff that didn't seep into the brain?
Yes. As Mark Vandermeer pointed out on Twitter, boy, that explains a lot.
Yes. Right.
Seth, I think I told you this yesterday. I had a coach, my defensive coordinator. I was an end, and he said, always lead with your hairline. Always.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
lead with your
That's
hairline.
And then after practice, you devoured salt tablets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even after the NCAA started making it a rule that you get these instructions on how not to hit, I can remember coaches basically like almost like throwing a pamphlet at us and being like, yeah, whatever.
All right, so you're going to wear that helmet during the show. It's starting at 10.
Yes, I started wondering about headphones, but we'll figure that out.
Okay. Oh, yeah, forget you don't have the in-ear joints.
That,
yeah.
At least the first hour. Yeah. I don't think we're playing. Oh, we are playing audio in the first segment.
John, have you tried that on yet?
Okay, I did last night. First time since 1979 when I walked off the field.
There's one thing. Did it fit? Because they shrink over time.
They do. I took the ear pads out.
Oh, okay.
I had to take the ear pads out.
Okay.
But it fits now. It fits my head. The ear pads were a no-go.
So you're
I'm surprised that even made the difference. Of course, you were probably on a lot of Diana ball back in the day.
Still is. Look at the guy.
I know.
He's an Adonis.
But they gave me this helmet after the last game.
Okay.
So I kept it.
And you said someday, 40 years from now, I'm going to have to put this on my head with a wager. All right, so the other part of the wager we need to do right now. You are going to sing the Notre Dame fight song.
I am.
Which you have said you know by heart.
Wait, no. You got to have your headphones on because you got to hear the music.
Yeah, I've got music.
Well, how am I going to do that with the helmet?
Just hold it up to the
helmet. The helmet will get on the start of the show.
You can do the helmet at 10 o'clock. You can just.
Oh, okay.
You want to do it with the helmet? Okay.
Look at him.
Okay, gotcha. Do you want music underneath this or no?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You are ready to
turn your mics off.
Like a 6-2 stack monster.
Yeah. Turn our mics. Okay, so. Ben, I'm going to count you with my fingers. 1, 2, and on three, hit the music, okay? And John, on three, you start singing. Ready? Okay.
Cheer, cheer for old Notre Dame. Wake up the echoes cheering her name. Send a volley cheer on high. Shake down the thunder from the sky. Though may odds be great or small, old Notre Dame will win overall. And her sons and daughters, what is it? No. While her sons and daughter, while her loyal sons and daughters march on to victory.
I don't know that they've politically correcticized the song and put the daughters in there. I think it's, I've always known it to be, while her loyal sons are marching on to victory.
Even Sister Ambrose taught me. While her loyal
she was
and
changing
daughters.
The lyrics to the song.
Well, she was a woman.
Yeah,
that is
was she now?
That's true.
Like, let me tell a little story about. I was thinking about Sister Ambrose today because the only reason I know the lyrics by heart, is because of her. She made us sing it every Friday, all year long. And she was really, really old back then.
Yeah,
I'll tell you how old. Not her grandfather, her father.
Okay,
fought in the Civil War.
Wow. Okay. Oh. Did she go to St. Mary's?
Yes.
Okay. That's the girls' school right across the street. Yeah. 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 She was a SMIC chick. That's what we had St. Mary's College. That's what we called them. We called them SMIC chicks.
I recognize that that's all on the up and up, but that sounds like it's a problem.
It's a problem.
The idea of saying a SMIC chick. I don't know what. It just sounds wrong.
Maybe. I mean,
I don't think it is.
It's the first time I've said it in like 35 years, so who knows?
It just hit my ear wrong.
Somewhere along the way.
I'm disappointed. I stumbled on While Her Loyal Sons and Daughters March on to Victory.
Okay.
But
I
knew most of it.
Yeah, no, you did good. You did good. Yeah. The only other part was you said, though may the odds. It's what though the odds. That's a well, actually.
Okay. Yeah,
you did great.
Thank you.
You did phenomenal. You look ridiculous.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, come on. Snap up the chin strap. Look like you're ready to play ball.
Now that, Seth, I don't know if I can snap up.
Oh, yeah. All right. We're missing some snaps, aren't we?
Oh, we're missing some.
If you're, you know what, John, as somebody that you grew up Catholic and what have you, before you became an Aggie, were you ever,
Oh, John can't hear you at all right now, Seth. This is incredible.
Okay, never mind. The headphones on. Yeah.
Let's see if we can figure this out. Say that again, Seth.
No, that's all. I was just curious about, like, because you're a young Catholic. You're a young Catholic kid. You know, was there ever a time where you dabbled in the Notre Dame fandom?
I used to like Lindsey Nelson on Saturday mornings, the highlights.
Yeah, the highlights. That's what a lot of people say.
And it's a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. They were quite the national team. They still are.
Yeah.
This
chin strap's got to go.
Okay. Well, you just got to keep the helmet on as well. All right. So if you want to see how ridiculous John looks, get onto the YouTube and the Twitch, and let's blow this thing up. All right. We're over. We got to let you guys start your show because there's a lot of stuff going on. Seth, antibodies to you, Mike.
Antibodies. And Brandy just texted me. She says John has a pleasant voice. So good job.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. You ought to hear me singing mariachis.
Yeah. I believe I have a
panty dropper.
All right.
Hold on a second.
The Marvin Gaye of mariachi.
About Brandy. This is,
Mariachi Marvin Gaye is
that's
good.
Wife we're talking about.
Good nickname.
I didn't say hers.
Okay. All right, we are done. We're out of time. This is going to be fun in the loop today. Reggie Atatula, John Lopez. Oh, by the way, you're listening to KLT and KLT HD2 on Odyssey Station. Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, they're in the loop. John looks ridiculous, and they start now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, I was MVP, man.
Yeah. All of were that you? Is 100%
correct. That's why they gave you the helmet.
You were the MVP of the team?
Of the defense.
Of the defense?
Yeah.
Look at you.
The MVP,
Watt.
Special teams, offense, and defense got their helmets.
Look at you. What position did you play?
Defensive end.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a beast.
Come on.
Start your show.
We are in the Loop Sports Radio 610. I want you to know the first note that I wrote on this program on this Wednesday, Mariachi Marvin Gaye. We'll find a way to work that one in. Fig,
you'll hear me. You'll
Fig, just how ridiculous does this man look? Actually, you're only seeing the back. You're not getting the full perspective.
Oh, I'm looking on YouTube right now.
Very good. Which you should all look on YouTube or Twitch, youtube.com/sportsradio610, twitch.tv/610Houston, the place to see. Because
this is ridiculous.
It is.
Looking at you through my face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you still got when 4 hours, big buddy.
What was the last time you put that on?
1979, not counting this morning.
Okay, very good. I hadn't considered until you brought it up. Just
no, I can hear now. See, I opened
them. Okay, yeah.
I'm good.
I kind of loved the image of you holding one ear to the ear hole of the football helmet. So, yeah, exactly. You look like you're operating like the original phone that Alexander Graham Bell was working with. It is going to be hilarious.
Hey, a bet is a bet.
It is a bet, and you are a man of your word. You're holding it down for 4 hours with an antiquated bike helmet on. Not a bike helmet. The company Bike made a football helmet.
This thing, I forget now. Like early in the season when we would run sprints and practice, your neck would be so sore after.
Because
it's heavy.
Yeah, that helmet looks like it weighs about 40 pounds.
It's heavy, man.
Okay, so that's a neck workout as well. You're just gonna have a real strong, just JJ Watt looking neck by the end time we're done with this program.
Yeah.
I am excited for it. Sean did mention there's a lot of things happening. There are a lot of things happening as we're in game week, getting a little selfie in as well. Oh my goodness, we're just in a great place here. In the Loop Sports Radio 610. How are you feeling right now, though, with it on? You feel like you're going to go the distance here?
No.
Already? Already? No, he's not. Don't do that, Sean. Don't let him off the hook.
No. Yeah, I can go the whole distance. I just want to make sure the show is good and people take me seriously. The second part might be a little bit more difficult.
Did people do that before? Or just
no, they really didn't.
Okay, I'm asking. I don't know.
They really didn't.
We just need a serious topic to talk about right now and get John's opinion on it.
That would be a nice thing. Unfortunately, I didn't stack it quite that way.
Yeah.
What's beef is the first thing we're talking about, because look, obviously game week, you're starting week one against the Indianapolis Colts, and it's kind of funny because you said that you honestly weren't thinking about this until we started getting into this week.
Yep.
The beef that it seems like is between these teams, but particularly between C.J. Stroud and the linebacking core of the Colts.
E.J. Speed and C.J. Stroud, and I just was being honest with you guys, it was like just in June when the Stroud was on, what podcast was it, Figgy?
He was on $1 million Worth of Game.
That's right.
With Gilly the King and...
God, there's so many podcasts.
Yeah. EJ Speed was on with Kay Adams.
He was.
There's beef in this game.
Big
time beef between CJ Stroud and EJ Speed. Like, CJ Stroud basically said that guy ain't nothing. No, we'll hear it. He said that guy had his chance and now he's talking. He ain't nothing. EJ Speed said, hold on a second. I'll show you the play that I sacked CJ Stroud.
All right, well, rather than you telling us this through the face mask of your high school helmet, let's hear from the actors involved, right? CJ Stroud, obviously. I think it seems like, if I'm not revising history here, CJ Stroud is the one who brought this beef to the fore.
Yes.
And he did that, as you mentioned, $1 million Worth of Game podcast. I hope I got that right.
Yeah, that's right.
CJ Stroud talking about EJ Speed, the linebacker for the Colts.
But like my boy EJ Speed, but it's a ton of dudes. It's not just EJ. He with my agent, and I tell him this to his face. I ain't even tripping. But like a lot of dudes come to these podcasts. Oh yeah, I'm coming to hit. I'm gonna hit CJ in his face. I'm gonna get him next year. Why don't you do something? Like where I'm from, we say, why don't you ain't do something where you was mad at? You was mad right there, my do something.
Right.
You could have made hella plays, bro. Right. You could have made plays, dog. Right. You could have shut me up right there, but you didn't.
Right.
So what make you think you gonna do it now? And right. if you do, I'ma come back, bro, for real. This ain't for no play, bro. I'm on, like, yeah. come on,
got
man.
Got him in that mode.
Got me, got me.
This is, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is the mode I've been waiting to get.
Like, I'ma slam CJ on his head. Ah, like.
Man,
you should have did that then, bro.
Right.
Now we're going to have another opportunity, and we played them first game of the year. Ooh. I'm excited. The Colts. Yeah. We play at their place. It's going to be rocking. Indy hates me already, and I love it. So.
All right, talking man. A little Cole Cash.
I'm
I appreciate
you,
it.
Man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do love that he started with my guy and like agent.
And then torched him.
Immediately was like, I say it to his face. And yeah, I thought the start of it was like fairly mundane. Or just yeah. like, yeah, man, you know, dudes talk big. And then
yeah.
I, but then
he got in that mode, as Tank Dell said there.
That's exactly it. It yeah. just, it felt like he got into the place where he was like, I'm just going to take this to the fullest extent of where I could. And so that got the beef rolling, yeah. at least publicly. I don't even know if that like felt like beef to start with. It felt like, yeah, okay, we're in the full mode.
Yeah.
We got the full mode. By the way, this track, Tupac was talking crazy.
He was, man.
Was that's why the phrase run around like he think he Pac now works, yeah. Because Pac was out here talking crazy. And in that vein, do you feel like CJ was talking crazy there?
Not well, a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's talking.
It is
crazy.
For a quarterback, man. Yeah. We got to remember, like, what other quarterback do you know that was like talking cash ish like this?
I like when he goes, because I'll come back and I'll blah blah blah. You know, that
right?
Was,
right.
I like it. I like it, but yeah. he was talking cash ish for yeah. a quarterback.
I always love a player that like seems to try to lean into the villain role, and I feel like there are two categories in that. The dude who you could tell actually really enjoys being the villain, or the dude that's trying to convince himself that he enjoys being the villain.
No, this was it.
You think because at the end of that, CJ goes, yeah, Indy hates me and I love it.
Yeah.
I'm not certain. And look, love CJ. I'm not certain that he's in category one. He might be convincing himself, in my estimation. I could easily be wrong.
I'm just talking
about. You think he loves being the villain?
That wasn't fake.
Okay, no, for sure.
That was not fake. That was not putting on a show, like trying to be tough or posing or whatever. No, that was legit. Like, and I don't know about the Indy hates me part, but everything else, like, Tank saw it, and Tank has seen it before.
Yeah.
He says, you've got him in that mode, man.
Yeah. Okay, so with that being the case, EJ Speed apparently took some level of umbrage with CJ Stroud getting out here and saying that, you know, he ain't really keep that same energy on the field.
Actually matched up very well versus Texas.
Okay, explain that to me. Tell me how.
You know, I'm on the field. Let's get that clear. I'm on the field. And then, you know what I mean? We got our guys. They made some big moves in the offseason, though. I give them that. I got a bone to pick with the Texans. So they said I didn't make any plays. So I gotta put the proofs on the pudding, huh?
Yeah. And CJ Stroud likes to talk.
Yeah, that's his thing now. That's his thing. He likes to pop his
He likes to pop his bleep.
He sure does.
EJ Speed was, they're going to be at it. And they're going to see each other a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to see each other a lot.
I do enjoy that there is this vibe, especially because sometimes in promoting a particularly NFL game, the matchup, quote unquote, is not a matchup. It's like yeah. quarterback versus quarterback, and they don't ever see each
no,
other.
No, this is a matchup.
This is a matchup.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny because it started here, but I think the place where it actually got spicy was when Zaire Franklin, because EJ Speed, I think he kept it relatively respectful. I think mm-hmm. he just spoke to like,
I got a bone to pick.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey man, you was talking about me not keeping that same energy. Okay. You came directly at me. It became a little bit iffy.
Mm-hmm.
Zaire Franklin though.
Yeah.
I think he took it to another level.
If you could have a beef with any team in the AFC South, would it be the Titans?
No, because I already smacked them a couple times. It really be Houston. I'm not going to lie to you. I love CJ, man. I support He's all awesome. Our young brothers at quarterback. But He's CJ, awesome. He done said a lot of wild stuff to me and our run-ins, you know, at the Super Bowl, at All-Star.
What'd he say?
Many times, and he feeling himself. But look, he in Tokyo, so congrats. I'm happy for you, but I need to see that boy again. And
What did he say? Because I kind of like the side of him that I see when he's on the pod with Micah. Because Micah just says whatever. And CJ, he's got that dog in him, dude. You could just tell, like, that's kind of who he is.
Well, we were talking, and he was, you know, how the Super Bowl is at Radio Row. You know, it's big, all that stuff going on. So he had the XM radio right before me. And he was on there talking about how he cooked the Colts in both games. And I saw him, and I pulled him aside, and I was like, you know, when you play Anthony,
It was like 28-7 in like the second quarter. We were kind of blowing you out. I mean, we were playing cover two shell, you know, 2 minute prevent for two quarters and a half. So like, yeah, you threw for 300 yards, but you were getting
blown out. That's not a cooking. That's not a cooking.
Yeah. And he was like, bro, I ain't cook you. And I'm like, look, if that's what you consider a cooking with the loss, I mean, congratulations. And you know, then I have to remind him as well that he's never beaten Anthony. So,
love this. You like, you're a psychological warfare guy. Because this is why I know we would have had some fun, dude. Because you like to poke motherfuckers, I can tell.
So there you go.
This is good.
I think it's really good.
It's really good.
I think it's really good. And I do appreciate he started out with, you know, I love supporting our brothers in the quarterback. And,
but.
However. and I do find this to be really fun because it's pertinent. It matters because Zaire isn't wrong that first game, they were on CJ's ass. And that was really, I mean, a true rookie CJ. Second game of his career in the offensive line. I mean, you had... And we'll talk more about this because I went back and rewatched these games. Like, the offensive line was not doing their job blocking it up. Yeah. But you definitely saw a progression the second time they played and the ways he got after them. And so, part three is going to be really fun this week when it comes around.
Yeah, and this is why, you know, when I remembered this last night, I'm like, oh, man, I forgot about the beef. And but here's the other thing. It matters.
Yeah.
You know, I asked you guys before the show, does it matter? To me, it matters. Like, CJ Stroud is going into this game, obviously, you know, game plan and wanting to win and all that. But he knows that he's playing Zaire, Speed, and Richards because they called him out on all three of those things. They called him out on all three of those things. So it's going to be some chattering. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and one thing is it's very evident that CJ likes talking. But CJ also very much has the capability to back it up. He's not one of those dudes that talks from a place of like not having a level of a leg to stand on. He feels like that, and he absolutely does have a leg to stand on. So it's not just talk for him. I think that it's a challenge. And one of the things that you talk about with the maturity that CJ shows is that like those challenges are things that he's more than willing to try and get up for. And so I think that that's going to make this even more fun, and it should be right in a division game. It should have that level of intrigue just based off of the personal feeling of this, right? It's one of the things that people clamor for in all sports. It's one of the reasons why people talk about the NBA feeling like it's not in the same place, as they feel like there isn't that personal beef that happens there, and you've got that in spades in week one.
Well, and here's the best part of all. You know, part of me doesn't want this to happen, but part of me really would love for Anthony Richardson to be really good, and we get this for 10 years, man.
Oh, yeah.
We get this for 10 years of big-time quarterback, big-time quarterback, talking bleep. I mean, it's just getting started. Like Zaire and Speed are not old. You know, I mean, this is stuff that's going to be going on. Like, this is good for them, for the division, for the NFL. You know, my biggest rival is still the Titans for separate reasons. But on the field, I would love for this to be, like, what's a good, more, you know, recent quarterback team, you know, they're both playing at a high, maybe Miami and Buffalo a little bit, maybe in the last couple of years. You know?
I'm sorry. My brain immediately defaults back to like, and this is super high level that Anthony Richardson would really have to boom for us to get to that place. But I immediately default to Manning Brady, kind of the way that
well, that's what ultimately that's what you hope.
Right.
Yeah. But this is in division.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is in division.
Right.
And by the way, this helmet is coming off. It's really
what? You're already quitting on the helmet?
Look at my head.
Yeah, you got lines in your head, and you've had that on for what, 20 minutes?
I got a headache, Figgy. Look at this.
Dang.
All right, what's the rule in Fig? Do we let him get breaks? Is that what we're doing here?
Or Sean gave me he absolved me.
What'd he do? What'd he say?
He said, don't worry about it. Look, this, I'm going to have a headache all day if I can.
Hey, wear the other helmet.
You want to wear the other helmet?
All right, we'll give the other helmet a try, because you got to be wearing a helmet. It just feels wrong to not have you wearing a helmet all show.
You ain't about to weasel your way out of this.
Yeah, we got
to
pay off.
Oh, much better.
That's much funnier, too.
If you're not...
This is the Newt Rockne.
Oh, wow. If you're not watching the Twitch
buckle
or the
chin strap up.
This is what I was going to give Sean to wear if the Aggies won. I can't feel. I'll put it on later.
Yeah. John Lopez is now wearing what I imagine is the leather helmet that they I'm guessing they wore in what, like 1925 or something.
This is what Sean was going to wear.
Continue to pay off his bet after A&M lost in Notre Dame this past weekend.
That's a no the rest of the show.
Okay.
It was crushing my head.
Very good. All right. Wow. What a time. I'm trying to do professional broadcasting.
I am too.
Yeah, you know you are. That is fair. That is fair. I'm just, the point I wanted to make is I don't think I'm doing all that great because I'm having to look at this helmet thing going on. And I realize this would be as much of a hurdle for me to get over.
Yeah.
Look, one segment down.
We'll
see how we continue to make it through with a helmeted John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Blatitula, in the loop right here. Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get our question of the day as we got Adam Spillane at 1040. Daniil Hunter, goodness gracious, has made a lot of money, but he still drives a Nissan. So what is your dream car, or like what are you holding on to? What thing or a car or are you holding on to that you probably should get rid of? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss that next.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yes, sir. In the loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Wednesday in H-Town. Yeah, man, get to the YouTube if you have not yet.
I'm trying not to laugh, man.
If you have not yet.
Is way more funnier.
Yeah, John Lopez paying off his debt after betting that his Texas A&M Aggies would defeat Sean Pendergast's Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and you lost.
I lost.
So you paid off your debt earlier by paying or singing the fight song, the Notre Dame fight song.
In my gold helmet.
Again, if you were watching us, you will see the helmet that he was wearing earlier is one that he played high school football in. And I can tell you, I'm holding it right now. It is heavy as hell.
Yeah.
And so he's already bailed out on his obligation to wear this the whole show, but he has, I think, an adequate substitute.
Yeah.
With Sean's approval.
Yes. Yeah.
All you haters on the YouTube stream. Oh, he only lasted 1 second.
Oh, nobody's hating on the YouTube. Dude. Everybody's trying to help you out. Actually, to be honest, looking at the YouTube, we had Corey in there that was like, take the ear pads out so at least the helmet would be looser. He already did that.
Yeah.
Wasn't any more loose.
That helmet looked like it's dripping CTE.
That's right.
It is absolutely.
You can see the CTE dripping off of the helmet.
That's right.
It explains a lot. And I would have worn it the whole show, but dude, it was like crushing my head.
And then also an unforeseen kind of circumstance that we did not consider. Mm-hmm. You couldn't wear your headphones with it. So in order to do that, but with this new leather helmet that you're wearing, can you also wear your headphones? Is that something that you can do in order to?
Maybe I hadn't thought of that. I'm so that you can still broadcast. Now that would be quite the visual with my headphones.
That's what I'm hoping to get a
back here.
Hey, there you go.
How about
there
that?
We go. You look like even more of an idiot. You love it. Let's see. And then also, I think we got some texts in about it as well, not to just give YouTube all the love. Mm-hmm. From the 713, Lopez looked like a Hispanic Rudy. That's
funny. I am.
Another 713 texted and said, I can't see it, but it sounds like Lopez's helmet dates back to the last Aggie National Championship.
Well, that's not nice.
I did need some clarification, though, because...
Don't you be one of those two.
Is it the championship that they actually won or the one that they claim? Because those are not the same year. So I just wanted to... Okay, anyways, let's get to the question of the day. Comes with a little bit of audio here, because Daniil Hunter, obviously a new Texan... And hopefully, big time sack leader on the team if everything goes swimmingly. He was talking about what he still drives. Another interview. What all was in the interview? Because we're going to focus on what he drives. But
yeah, well, he was asked about. You can maybe just go to the
to the car
The car part. He said, he got this. How many millions did he make? 59, something like that.
God bless him.
And they said, what kind of car do you drive? He goes, Nissan.
What was your first ever car?
A Dodge Challenger.
What do you drive now?
A Nissan.
A Nissan. All right, all right.
Dude's just laughing at him, man.
Right. And look, if you
now it's a high-end Nissan.
Yeah, it's like if you just say Nissan, that makes it sound like he's out here driving
in the Altima.
Right, with the AKAs and everything.
Or Maxima.
Yeah, I had a Maxima back in the day.
Maxima. Not a terrible car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good car.
But still, it's a Nissan for a guy that's got 59 or whatever.
There's sports cars. Yeah. There are Nissan sports cars that'll run you 80 to 120, right? Like, so, yeah, I have a strong feeling that it's probably one of those. But even still, like hearing Nissan is hilarious there, and that got us thinking. Like it started making me think of like when Kawhi Leonard was still driving his like high school high school suburban or whatever that was.
Yeah.
And
Jalen Petrie living with his parents his whole rookie year. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Although apparently his parents, you know, do some good cooking.
They do.
The
house, yeah, yeah. So that's
that'll
true.
Keep you at the crib. If
so,
that's
it got me thinking. Like, I started thinking about the car I miss, like from back in the day. But not just cars, like things that you still would hold on to, like you were mentioning from back in the day. Mine, and they don't even make this vehicle anymore, and it was a great car. It was an SUV, kind of a cross between a Bronco and one of the smaller SUVs, but it had like a huge engine. This is back gas guzzler days, had like a 350 V8. It was an International Harvester, an International Scout. Man, I tore stuff up in that car.
Man.
I tore stuff
up. When you say tore stuff up, like the road, or were you off-roading, or what's happening?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And life.
Yeah, the text line, multiple people let us know that Daniil Hunter drives a GTR.
Okay.
And yeah, that is
that's a good car.
Yeah, that's probably a six-figure car.
What are you holding on to?
I thought Fig had a really good answer on what he's holding on to and will not let go of.
Yeah, so, you know, people who don't know me, I used to rap back in the day. Like, I was rapping my ass off before I moved to Houston. And I still have my microphone, man, my actual recording microphone for songs. And I just can't let it go right now.
That's
man.
A good one.
And I don't think I'm gonna ever rap again like that. I might do some parody songs or something like that. But
very good.
I'm still keeping it just in case. I still have the microphone stand. I got the interface and Pro Tools just in case I want to dial it up.
But okay.
I'm not jumping in that game again.
And you don't have, like, would you consider it one that's, like, because sometimes you have a microphone that's old, but it still would operate like one of the top ones in the line.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's there, or is it just like this is full nostalgia, the reason why I'm keeping this?
Yeah, it's still full nostalgia, honestly, because it was like a $100 mic.
Mm-hmm.
And recording mics are very expensive. Mm-hmm. So I got the cheaper one because at the time, you know, I was low-key broke.
Yeah.
So I had to get the cheapest one. But I'm still keeping it just in case, man. Just in case, you know, I might have an opportunity. And I'm like, you know what? Let me put a quick little 16 together.
All right,
we got to
tell Reggie what your original rap name was.
Oh, yeah.
This
yeah,
is a great story, man.
Yeah, so if you don't know, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. And my original rap name. So around this time, a lot of people were using drug dealer names as rap names. So like Frank Lucas.
Yeah,
you got Pablo Escobar. You know, that was kind of a thing back in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with the name Machine Gun Kelly.
No.
Yes, he did.
So I was going around as Machine Gun Kelly. I put my whole MySpace page as Machine Gun Kelly and all this stuff until I actually ran into a guy page on MySpace named Machine Gun Kelly. Which is the one everybody else knows.
Wow.
I'm like, man, this white dude got my name. Like, what's up? But then I ended up changing it because the real Machine Gun Kelly, who was a gangster back in the 19 whatever, was white.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it don't make sense for a black dude.
That ain't never stopped nobody in the past.
Yeah. But I'm like, if anybody gonna have his name, the white guy probably had more say so than me.
All right, so we're going a couple of different directions on the question of the day, which has just become like just, hey, chime in, which, look, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
On the YouTube, they said a 1987 Buick Grand National.
All right.
Okay. And then the 713 said, Reggie, I'm still holding on to all my cassette tapes, double-sided tape case. Most of them are hip-hop
classics.
That's
pretty cool.
Hey, that's going to make a comeback.
Yeah.
I actually went to a concert and somebody was selling cassette tapes.
That's tough. Yeah, I know there's quite a few people that miss their 8-tracks that wish that they could.
I had an 8-track.
Right. Yeah. And then
probably,
of course,
in that International.
I do wonder. Yeah, I'm sure. I do wonder if that will have any level of resurgence like we're seeing with like vinyls.
No, because the click in the middle of a song.
Okay.
Like they'd be playing, then it'd go to the second track. It'd be playing a song, then it'd go click, click, and then it'd pick up the song.
I don't know, man. It might come back. It might.
Now, cassettes are.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, cassettes.
Yeah, cassettes are.
But yeah.
What about you? What are you going to hold on from your youth or still want to?
I have, especially having my late grandmother was a little bit of a pack rat. So, mm-hmm. like, you know how sometimes you have that pendulum swing? And I was like, I got to get rid of stuff. So I don't keep a lot of stuff. But one thing I definitely am still holding on to is a painting.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's not a problem. I can hang it up, but it's a painting of a little kid playing a saxophone.
All right.
Okay. Mom's had it originally because she said it made her think of me. And so I still hold on to that. But
do you
like,
play the saxophone?
Never. Not once. Not once.
But the kid looked like you.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. I love jazz. I used to play the drums a little bit.
That's true.
I'm not trying to talk about playing the drums for real. But
yeah.
When it comes to the car that I miss, my stepdad used to have a red Jeep Cherokee. I think it was 91.
Ooh, baby.
And it was supposed to be
a big box one.
It was supposed to be
the
mine.
Big box, yeah.
It was supposed to be mine as soon as I got that driver's license.
Yeah.
But he did not take care of that car.
Oh, man.
And by the time it was my time, it was not working. So
that,
I ended
that
up,
was my International right there.
Ooh, yeah, that's a fun car.
Sweet.
That is a fun car.
Sweet.
A lot of people, blank Memorex tapes that they're still holding on to. Everybody's on your side, Fig. The MGK stole your stuff.
Yeah.
346. I side with your wife here. They said their wife is holding on to her DVDs, and he's been telling her to throw them away. Do not.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Physical, I was actually throwing mine out.
You got to hold
man.
On to this physical media, bro. You see what they're doing to us on these streaming sites is that, hey, yeah. It's on the streaming site until mm-hmm. it's not.
Oh, yeah, that's
and then all
true.
Of a sudden, the thing that you
but see,
see
I don't
is
even have a
forever.
DVD player, though.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You yeah, can get one. Fair. You can get one.
Yeah.
Hey, man, albums from my era are huge now. They're huge
yeah,
now.
My pop still got some albums.
Yeah.
Yeah,
original albums.
Albums, movies, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Hold on to some classic, physical media if you can. Mm-hmm. 281 said they missed their old Nissan Altima that got totaled because some dumbass ran a red light.
2013 Mustang GT. Man, hold on to that one.
Yeah. The tough thing for me about doing the car thing is that I have owned, and now we're just doing all the security questions. So, yeah, good luck with that, I guess.
Yeah.
I've owned a
security. What was your first car?
A 90s, not a Sentra. What was it? A Toyota Corolla, I think. Yeah, I think it was a Corolla. I owned a mid-90s Camry. I owned a Nissan Maxima that was in Champaign.
All right.
Like, none of these are like, oh, man, I really miss when I had
what
that.
What was your first pet's name?
Oh, my goodness. You got me now. Nah, my first car was
as you can tell, I don't use any of these as my security question.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying this on there.
Yeah, I had a Dodge Neon. That was my first car.
Dodge Neon.
Yep. And then I had a Pontiac G6.
Okay.
I was stunned on
you
that
thought,
one.
You thought you was something
new. Oh, man. It was the same year as the car, too.
Yeah.
Like the 07.
Yeah.
I had the 07 Pontiac G6 in 07.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, man. A lot of fans. A 67 Pontiac Le Mans coupe.
Okay. Hope you kept that one.
Wow. 1971 Dodge Challenger, 93 Ford F-150. Y'all had some fun cars.
Mm-hmm,
y'all did not have the hoopies that some of us.
Ain't nobody 40 years from now saying, I want that Dodge Neon. I don't think nobody's saying that. That tiny ass car.
Oh, Lord.
Shout out to Danielle Hunter riding in his Nissan. I do want to, I know that we're saying this, it's most likely, or it probably is GTR. I would love if he was like, no, it's a Nissan Sentra.
Yeah, a little Sentra.
Yeah.
Just an A to B car. I love it. Shout out to Danielle Hunter. You're listening to In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go and talk to our guy, Baseball Spo Adam Spillane, about what's happening with the Astros on their very first off day in what feels like forever. We'll talk about Spo next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Who they want? Baseball Spo, Baseball Spo, Baseball Spo, Baseball Spo, Baseball Spo.
I maintain the hardest intro for our guy, Adam Spillane. Baseball Spo, our Astros insider here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula, in the loop.
He's looking at me.
And Spo, what has caught your attention as you've walked in the studio here with us?
Is that from like when you played?
No. This is from when
he played, actually.
I had this one on for one segment, but it was squeezing my scalp. I would have had a headache
How
for a
week.
How
can you even hear, though?
I got the headphones.
There's ear holes in there.
Yeah, yeah. Hey.
All right, so if you're not familiar with what Spo is talking about, it is John Lopez paying off his bet after his Texas A&M Aggies fell to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Sean's alma mater. And so he has
the duty of wearing a football helmet from past decades for the entirety of the show. Previously, in
I'll
the
wear
first
this
segment,
one in the last segment for Clinton Ron.
Okay, very nice. What looks like a Rudy 70s era helmet.
Yeah. I wore that for the first segment, but it was...
He bailed out. He said it was too tough, too heavy.
It was painful.
Too painful. And so he went a few decades back with the leather helmet that he's wearing right now.
Yeah.
Looking ridiculous, but sounding fantastic as he always does.
We got to stop gambling at this station.
That's the takeaway. Please, no more gambling.
It's not going good here.
All right, so Spo, the Astros yesterday, I said today, but yesterday they got... their first break in 18 games. How do you kind of encapsulate that 18-game stretch for them? Because I know that they had some ups and downs. They finished it out, obviously, with the actual loss with the Reds, but, I mean, they had won five previous. Like, how do you encapsulate the fullness of that stretch, which I thought was somewhat of a litmus test for this Astros team?
They finished two games over 500, and they played a lot of games against a lot of good teams. Mm-hmm. They had three games against the White Sox to start it, three games against the Reds to finish it, but the 15 games in between... I mean, you're looking at playoff teams, and then the Red Sox are right on the edge. And I'm not just talking about, like, wild card teams. I mean, the Orioles are one of the best teams in the league. Mm-hmm. Philly's one of the best teams in the league. The Royals had been playing great when they got here, and they did surprisingly well in those games. So I think that and they gained ground in the division. Like, they increased their lead in the division. So that 18-game stretch is a success, except for the fact that now you're dealing with this Alex Bregman thing, which is weird, and... I don't know what to think of it at this point. So,
hey, did you hear Kyle Tucker actually broke his leg?
It's just so stupid.
Did you hear?
It's
not a bruise after all.
I don't even know where to start.
Okay. Pick a place. Let's work through it.
Because it's, to me, organizationally, this is embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not embarrassing that they misdiagnosed it at the beginning because that happens.
I don't think they did, but go ahead.
No, I do think that they did. I think that in the beginning... they saw the scan and, you know, there's so much swelling around there and it's probably a small fracture and they just missed it. And that happens. That happens all the time. But to then continue to go on with the ruse for 3 months is, and listen, I don't know when they saw it. You know, maybe it was a week. Listen, if it's a week and you go on with the ruse for 3 months, that's bad. If it's 6 weeks, if it took you 6 weeks to figure it out.
After 2 weeks, they would have said, hey, wait a minute.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the other part of this whole thing is that you don't know when they actually caught it.
Sure.
And then here's what's even worse. And I give so much credit to Chandler Rome for reporting the story and doing the work that went into it. Chandler asked Dana Brown twice on Saturday.
Yes.
He asked him twice. Yeah. And Dana Brown lied about it.
Mm-hmm.
Only to come 48 hours later and say, oh, yeah, it turns out it was cracked.
Yeah.
Or it was a fracture, whatever it is. So I just don't understand what the point of hiding it is. And this feeds into all the other narratives about everything that people have said about the Astros now for the last however many years. And here's the other thing. If Alex Bregman is not in the lineup today, then here come some more questions.
For sure.
Because what are they hiding now about this? Because Joe Espada said on Sunday that Bregman was trending towards being able to play Monday. He did not play Monday. Now you have the off day. You had the off day yesterday. If he's not in there today... something else is up. And I don't know what to believe at this point because they just spent the last 3 months lying to me.
Yeah. And to that end, right, I think we were asking the question of what possibly could they stand to gain in whatever subterfuge. And that's the best framework that I could possibly.
And it's not a competitive advantage,
right? Like, is there anything that could be gained? And I know that some people were talking about, well, you know, it came after kind of the trade deadline kind of comes around. Is it possible that maybe there was some level of attempt to trade him? Like, I just can't see what the possible benefit would be.
No, because guess what? The other teams get to look at your medicals. And if a team trades for Kyle Tucker thinking that he has a bone bruise in his leg and they check out the scan, oh no, it turns out it's actually broken, then what's the point? And they were never going to trade Kyle Tucker anyways. Right. They were in the race in August.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were going to start selling off parts in August with Kyle Tucker being one of those. So I don't know what there was to gain. I really don't. I've been spending the last 2 days trying to figure out what there was to gain by it. And I can't think of anything. It makes you put the player in this position where I'm sure you guys have seen it on the text line. I've heard it. I've had many people say it to me. It's like, well, why is he not playing? Is he soft?
Well, that's exactly right.
Is he soft? Is he boycotting because he wants an extension and they haven't offered him anything? So you just throw in all these other questions. And I just, I don't know what there was to gain.
It makes the player look bad.
Yeah,
it makes the medical staff look bad. It makes the athletic trainers look bad.
Their medical staff looks absolutely incompetent.
Yes.
That it took them, because we all thought it was a bone bruise. So it takes them 3 months to rehab a bone bruise. And then don't forget, they've got all these pitchers that were supposed to come back and have not been able to get these pitchers back. Whether it was Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia were supposed to be contributors this season. Neither one of them will. Jose Urquidy was supposed to pitch this season. He was making rehab starts in Sugarland. He was a start away from getting to the big leagues. He winds up needing Tommy John surgery. J.P. France, the GM even said they brought J.P. France back too early. He needed season-ending surgery. Yeah. Penn Murphy had to come back from his rehab. He's not going to pitch this season. So, I mean, there's some issues that need to be figured out here. And this is going back. This isn't just this year. You know, McCullers last year could not make it back to play. And he
wound up needing
surgery.
Go back to Verlander, you know, the whole Chandler Rome thing back in the day.
Yeah, and Jake Meyers coming back too early in 2022. And James Cook even saying, yeah, we need to reevaluate our return to play stuff here.
Yeah.
Because something, and this is again something that Chandler Roman harped on, and Chandler, and I give him credit again, he's been on Dana Brown about, okay, James Click said that he wanted to reevaluate kind of their return to play philosophies. Has that been done? And it doesn't sound like it has. And you know, the GM has changed, you know, since 2022. Training staff is still basically the same. So I just, like, if I don't know, I don't know, I don't want to call for anybody to be fired or anything like that. I think that's too crazy, but something does need to be, like, looked into with what's going on here. A, the dishonesty, and B, why can't we get pitchers back?
Yeah, and you know, the first part you talked about, like, right now they can say anything at all, and I'm going to immediately default to, well, they're probably lying.
I did it for 3 months and I look like an idiot. Mm-hmm. Like, flat out, I look like an idiot for that. And it's hard to take anything that they say with any grain of salt.
Bregman,
at this point,
I think they're lying.
Yeah, I think that's why.
I shouldn't.
I think that's why Bregman came out. Remember, Bregman held media availability when they announced that. He wasn't even going on the IL. They just said, oh yeah, he's going to talk. He's not playing today. He's going to talk in the clubhouse. Like, he got out in front of it. I don't know if he wants them talking, you know, for him at this point, especially when he's got free agency coming up around the corner. So I don't know. Everything is just, it's weird, it's bizarre, and it makes no sense why they would handle things the way that they are handling them.
Before we let you go, Spo, I do want to talk about Justin Verlander. Who is, you know, the biggest name when it comes to the rotation, but is very quickly kind of sliding down that rotation ranking. I know that there was even conversation on the morning show that they had about whether or not he would be in a playoff rotation for you at this moment. 5 earned runs and didn't get out of the 5th on Monday. Where does he stand when it comes to this rotation, possibly even when it comes to playoff time?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the good news for him and for them is that they've got time to figure it out. And, you know, he's made 3 starts since coming off the IL. He's probably got 4, maybe 5, but probably 4 starts to get better. And I do think on the positive end, you know, velocity's been okay. You know, it hasn't been great, but it's been okay. But he can still get it up to 95. You know, he got up to 95.9 in that first start back. He's faced 3 really good offenses in these 3 starts. So that's something that probably should be taken into account. He's talked about his mechanics being off, which makes sense when you consider that he's missed as much time as he's missed. Now, if anyone can figure out his mechanics, it's Justin Verlander. So if they can get that, and again, they've got 4 starts, you know, to work this out, and he will probably start against the Diamondbacks this weekend, and that's not exactly an easy lineup to face. Like, he's not going to get, you know, it's going to be a 4th start against a 4th really good offense. But if anybody can get this stuff figured out, it's him. Now, if we're having the same conversation in 3-4 weeks, then I don't think that they would hesitate. I don't think they're going to give him a start in the postseason for sentimentality purposes. I just don't think that's how they're going to operate. And I go back to Zach Greinke in 2021. Greinke had an ERA in the mid-3s through the end of August. Then he got COVID, and he came back from COVID, and he did not pitch well. He was bad in all 3 of his starts to end the season, and the only reason why he pitched any in the postseason in 2021 was because McCullers got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So they will not hesitate to sit a guy if they don't think that he's up to it and that there are guys that are better than him. Again, Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke aren't quite the same, but they're not going to, I truly don't think they will give him a start for sentimentality purposes, but I do think that he will figure out his mechanics, and I do think that you will see a much better version of Justin Verlander these last 4 starts.
I know you're a big baseball guy. 136 losses, I think, is the record. Is that correct?
Is it? well, they won't get to 136.
You don't think...
No, I think one I think the most they can lose is 131.
I'll have to go back and double check. It might be 124. I might just be inflating it. But
no, they're right now, if they lose out, they're 31-131, which is just absolutely hilarious. I don't think they'll lose out.
Well, yeah, 134 is the Cleveland Spiders back in 1899.
They won't lose 134. But
120 is the is second.
Modern day. When was 120?
That was in 62.
That was the 62 Mets.
Yeah.
I mean, 120 is basically a lock. Because I said, they're 31-109. 31-109, so they basically have to, split their last 22 games. So a team that has won 22% of their games over the course of the season is not playing 500 baseball. That's just not going to happen. So 120 is happening. It's just a matter of, can they get to 125? Probably not going to get to 130, but 125 is definitely in play. And it's just, you watch any of the White Sox postgame stuff?
How about last night?
Oh, just
glorious. Glorious. It'll come back around on the program.
Ozzie Guillen just ripping everybody. Oh, yeah. Just the best part of the season.
Someone that you can't rip. Our guy, Baseball Spo, Adam Spillane, Astros Insider. Appreciate you hanging out with us, my man. There you go. We'll talk more about what's happening with the White Sox later and what's popping, because it's just comical. Three Stooges like. But coming up next, let's go around the NFL where cornerback pay continues to get, we get more insight into it. We'll talk about that and more next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.